Man, I just had to stand back there at the end of that last song and just listen to you guys sing. That was incredible. But I was thinking, you know, if I love that so much, imagine God, whom you're singing that to, how much He loves it. Can we just clap for God? Awesome. That was incredible. All right. Well, tonight I brought a box of old stuff with me tonight, all right? So check this out. I got right here, you guys may remember these, the good old tape cassettes. This is actually DC Talk Jesus Freak, all right? Now this was put out in 1995, so right around the year that some of you guys were actually born. In fact, this tape might be older than some of you guys. I got a floppy disk drive, right? A floppy disk right there. I have a National Geographic VHS. VHS is good. Let's see if it has. Ooh, this one's from 1991. Very nice. That's kind of an old one. Now, even some DVDs get kind of old. We remember Napoleon, but it's. You know, it was funny and all, but like, nobody really talks about him anymore. It's just kind of, yeah, a couple people do. You're right. Check this one out. Listen. Thank you for not screaming. All right. Check this out. My mom reminded me of this. This is some artwork that I did. Let's see. I believe I put this in the New Mexico State Fair because of how really good it is. It's looks like it involves a person that's like a peanut and a pickle and okay, this is my picture right here. All right? Now I don't know how old this is. I know that I believe it or not, I did not draw this last week and just get it framed or anything, okay? But I even decorated it enough that it has like roly eyes on this guy and like sequins eyes for this guy. This guy, I don't know if he's a pickle or what, but he has a pink mohawk. Kind of cool. So, and then this, I don't know if this is even a person over here, but he has bulging biceps just like mine, as you can tell. And it looks like he has like 9 strands of spaghetti for hair. So that's kind of an old one. And then, believe it or not, when I was about 5 years old, I used to wear this vest, okay? Can you imagine me in a vest? In fact, you know, I need to try this on. Hold on, I'm going to get it. Hold on. Yeah, that's not going to happen. I think I'm stuck like this, actually. So, all right, you guys have a good night. Not really. Okay, so that's kind of old, obviously, since my shoulder doesn't even fit in it anymore. Interesting. Stuff gets old, right? We all have stuff collecting under our beds, you know. I remember when I was your age, I had like old cereal bowls underneath my bed, and my mom would make me clean my room, and there was like, you know, moldy Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and it wasn't pretty, right? But here's the thing. Everything in life has an expiration date. Everything that we deal with on a day-to-day basis expires or gets old or goes away or goes extinct or whatever it is, everything, even our day-to-day lives, you know, one day starts, but then it ends. Your sixth grade year starts and then it ends. And everything has an ending to it. Everything in life. You know, there's a lot of things. In fact, I'm still wearing my Hinkle wristband. Maybe some of you guys are. But here's the thing. It's expired. You could go to Hinkle and be like, hey, I want to get on the go-karts. And they're all, sweet. Maybe you should pay for it, right? Like, well, that's expired. Doesn't work anymore. You could wear it till you're 25 if you want, if your wrist still fits in it. But it's going to be expired. It expired at 9 o'clock last night. It doesn't do you any good. I found a picture of a possum whose life expired on the road. And obviously they didn't care enough about the poor possum to pick him up before they painted the stripes on the road. Of course, we also know that hairstyles expire, right? That's on the far right-hand side, that's me in sixth grade. No, not really. Not really. That would be pretty sweet, though. That would be pretty sweet. Nice, huh? You like that guy in the middle? Got some mullets going on. Nice. So everything, yeah, it kind of does look like David Crowder, actually. That's a little scary. I'm sorry, David Crowder. But everything in life expires, good or bad. And we're going to look at something that didn't expire. Today, we're going to learn that God gave Noah a covenant forever. A covenant forever. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 8 if you haven't already. Because every single thing in life, good or bad, expires, runs out. Even life itself comes to an end sometime. They all end. And if you guys have been with us on the weekends, so we've been studying the life of Noah, this man of faith, who went through the worst storm Earth has ever seen, even to this date. Knocked millions of people off of the planet. Not off of the planet, but killed millions of people. Wiped them out. And Noah and seven of his family members and thousands of animals survived on the ark. So from beginning to end, Noah and his family had faith to weather the storm. And as people mocked him, I'm sure that they did, as people ignored his warning, as people lived their lives in rebellion all the way around him, he stood tall. And he stood tall as a man of faith in a faithless generation. These people living selfishly for themselves, for their pleasures, whatever they wanted to do, they would do. And Noah and his family found grace in the eyes of God. They were about eight people out of possibly millions of people who lived for Christ instead of for themselves. So Noah was this man of faith. And we're going to learn a couple things about God tonight. Three specific things that don't go old. That don't get old. They never die off. Number one, God's salvation never gets old. God's salvation never gets old. And man, I am so glad about that. Genesis chapter 8, look at verse 21. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Let me remind you what happened in verse 20. Back up even into the beginning or the middle of chapter 8, they had gone through the whole flood. It said at the beginning of chapter 8 that God remembered Noah. The waters, it quit raining. Eventually the ark came to a resting point on Mount Ararat. A few months later, they were finally able to open the door and get out and start their lives completely over. And so the first thing Noah did, says in verse 20, then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Verse 21, and the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. Verse 22, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Man, praise God that salvation never gets old. Speaking of getting old, Emiliano Mercado del Toro. Check this guy out. He's 115 years old. He's the world's oldest man, and he just turned 115 on Monday, all right? So old guy. Now, you know, I'll agree with you. He looks like he's on his way out, right? Looks like his eyes are hurting a little bit there, but seems like a pretty nice guy. You know, he's looking okay for his age. He's definitely not brand new, as you can tell. I read a little bit about this guy. It says at the age of 90, he quit a smoking habit that he had had for 76 years, okay? 76 years. That's like 6.5 times how long you guys have lived. This guy smoked. I'm amazed that he's still alive at 115. Things get old. I grew up thinking that Legos and Silly Putty were like the coolest things on the face of the planet, you know? And I would build Lego houses, and then I would like bomb them with Silly Putty bombs, you know, and it was awesome. I grew up thinking that that Barbies were great, and I played Barbies with my sister and our... Okay, you guys don't need to scream at everything, all right? Okay, so I played Barbies, and I'm not scared to admit it, okay? I played with my sister and my babysitter, and it was fun until one day I realized that I'm a boy, all right? And so I eventually got bored with that. Thank God that he doesn't get bored with saving people, you know? He's not up in heaven thinking, man, saving people is so overrated. You know, I mean, I've been at that for thousands of years. Who cares about that anymore, right? He's not up there thinking that. Saving people is what God does. You know, Ronald McDonald sells burgers. Chuck E. Cheese sells pizza. Scares small children, you know. And God saves people. That's just what God does. That is who God is. He is the Savior. But God has often been misrepresented. In fact, I heard a quote from a movie about God. The actor said, "It's like I'm an ant, and God is just an angry kid on an ant hole with a magnifying glass waiting to burn off my feelers." That's... I know what movie that is. Thank you. That's the feeling that many people have about God. Many people think that God is just out to get them. That God is just, he just wants to be mean and make rules and, you know, put boundaries around us. Let me tell you, that is not a true representation of God at all. Let me give you a true representation of God from the scriptures. Here's a few verses you can write down. Read on your own time. Jeremiah 29:11. You guys know it. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." That's the God that loves us, that we read about in the Bible. Psalm 40:5. "Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." Psalm 139:17. "How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you." God thinks such incredible thoughts about us. He is in love with us. And God thinks so many good things about us that the Bible tells us if we were to try to count them, it would be like trying to count the sand on the seashore. That's how many good thoughts God has toward us. He loves us. And last week, as we studied the flood, as Noah and his family spent over a year in the ark, as the earth was just bombarded with water, literally wiped everybody off the face of the planet, killed all the, put to death the sin that was just so rampant in this generation, the flood showed God's justice and how God is a holy God and he cannot live with sin. It showed that side of him. God had been warning these people for hundreds of years to listen up to what he was saying, and they didn't listen. So he followed through. God doesn't joke around when he says punishment is coming. But let me remind you that although God punishes, he is in the business of saving people. God loves to save people. Just like I told you, that's just what he does. But God knew that sin was still present in the human race. He knew that sin was still there, and it was still working, even in Noah. Noah wasn't perfect. Even though he found grace in the eyes of God, Noah was not perfect. He could have just wiped out all the humans off the face of the planet. He could have killed Noah and his family as well. But he didn't, because he loved them. He could have just put to death the problem of sin by killing Noah as well. Because he knew Noah still had a problem with sin, that Noah was not perfect. But he didn't. He loved him. In his mercy, God saved the faithful few. In his mercy, he allowed those who found grace in his sight to continue to live. And God promises in these verses that we're reading here to never punish the earth like this again. Isn't that good to know? That, yeah, it might rain a lot. Devastation might come. But God's never going to punish the earth in a way like that again. God has a plan for us, and he loves us so much. And that is great news to a world that deserves judgment. Great news to a world who literally we deserve the flood again because of our sin. Sin separates us from God, but God loves us so much. In fact, the question was asked last week, found it in the box. The question was, what about people on the other side of the world who didn't hear about the ark? Why couldn't they be saved? It's a great question. You know, here's Noah on one side, he's building the ark. What about the people on the other side of the world? Just because they weren't living by the ark, does that mean God wouldn't save them? I don't agree with that at all. I really think that Noah and his seven family members were the only ones that found grace in the eyes of God. But I also believe that it had someone change their heart, had someone recognize that they were living selfishly and turned to God, God would have saved them somehow. Who knows how he would have done it? Maybe he would have had them build an ark on the other side of the world. Two arcs. Maybe he would have somehow gotten them to move around to the other side of the globe to meet Noah one day. They had hundreds of years to do it. Who knows how he would have done it, but I believe with all my heart that he would have done it had people turned their lives to God. Let me give you a couple more verses. One more, actually, first in the New King James, Psalm 68:19. I read this morning in my quiet time. I loved it. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. And then I also read it in the New Living Translation. It says, praise the Lord, praise God our Savior, for each day he carries us in his arms. Isn't that awesome? That is the God that we serve. That is the God that loves us. And what a blessing that God's salvation never gets old. Number two, God's blessings never grow cold. Chapter 9, look at verse 1. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, on all that move on the earth and on all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. I think that's probably really good news for the hunters out there, right? I have given everything into your hands. And then verse 7, and as for you, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it. So God's blessings never grow cold. One thing I don't like to grow cold is my food, you know? You guys know how it feels? It's not that great when your food gets cold before you eat it. It's one thing I love about eating at Chick-fil-A, you know? Chick-fil-A, number one, it's just one of probably my favorite restaurant. But number two, they serve it really hot. I've never had like kind of a warm sandwich at Chick-fil-A. They serve it in like the little foil containers where it keeps it really hot. And they have it all packaged up. And you pull it out and there's like the steam coming out of it, you know. And I just start drooling almost, you know. And like you bite into it and the pickle kind of burns your tongue a little bit. And you're like, oh man, that's good, right? I'm okay with their pickles burning my tongue because it's worth it. It's hot food. It's great. It doesn't grow cold. And God's blessings are served to us hot and delicious every single time. God wants to bless us. It said that in verse 1 that we just read, so God blessed Noah and his sons. As if they weren't blessed enough. God had selected them, those 8 people, out of millions to be saved and to live through the flood. As if that wasn't enough blessing, God blessed them even more. That's the God we serve. He's a God of mercy and a God of grace And God shows both of those here. We use those words all the time, mercy and grace. Let me define those for you. You can write them down if you'd like. Mercy, not getting what you do deserve. Not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. So mercy is not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. And Noah and his family are great examples of this. Because although they were faithful, they were still sinners. They were born with the problem of sin. And so God had mercy on them because Noah was a sinner. He deserved judgment, but God did not give him what he deserved. He kept him alive through the flood. He protected him. And then he gave him grace because he also gave him something that he didn't deserve. And that was a blessing on top of the fact that he already had preserved his life. Noah didn't earn it. He didn't earn this grace or this mercy, and that's what makes it so good, is that God gives it freely. What a loving God we serve. I love it. God finds so much pleasure in blessing us, in giving us what we need. In fact, in Romans chapter 5, in the Message, I love how it words part of the first paragraph there in Romans 5. It says, we're never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary. We can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. We can't even contain the blessings that God wants to give us because He loves us so much. But blessings often come with a warning. You know, think about at home. Your mom says, hey, you can go hang out with your friends, or you can, you know, go do this or that. But be careful that you don't, you know, do this or don't do that, or watch out, you know, hold your friend's hand before you cross the street, or, you know, whatever. Right? She makes these rules. A blessing often comes with a warning. Look at verse 4, chapter 9. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. Surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man. From the hand of every man's brother I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. So this blessing is great, but it comes with a warning. He says, go out, you guys can hunt the animals, you guys can eat the meat, but you need to be watching out for each other. And he gives them this warning. Because God knows man's tendency to depart from truth. And he knows that man naturally lives this way. And so God right here, he almost seems to be warning against letting it get to the point that Cain brought it to. You guys remember Cain, right? Back just a couple chapters ago, chapter 4. We learn that Cain got so mad at his brother Abel that he killed him. He had an opportunity, they were all alone, and so he rose up and he killed his brother. And so God says right here, I will require man's blood. If you kill somebody, you will be killed by somebody else. This is the first institution of capital punishment, the death penalty for committing murder. And so he warns against it. And so from the start, God warns us to put others above ourselves, to be thinking of others higher than ourselves. And the world, though, it ended up the way that it did before the flood because of selfishness. It tells us that in James chapter 4, in the Message also, it says, where do you think all these appalling wars and quarrels come from? Do you think they just happen? Think again. They come about because you want your own way and fight for it deep inside yourselves. It's no wonder this world has so many issues. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. So, God blesses them, then comes the warning, and then again in verse 7, he reminds them of the blessing. And as for you, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply in it. So God loves us so much that His blessings never grow cold. He loves to do it. Number three, God's promises never go extinct. God's promises never go extinct. I learned something interesting about a promise that was made this week. In June of 2004, how many of you guys use Listerine in the morning? Swish your mouth. Nice. How many of you should have used Listerine? Nice, and you didn't, and you smell because of it. That's okay. In June 2004, Listerine began a new ad campaign. And they said this on their commercials and in their ads. They said this: it's clinically proven. A quick, easy rinse with Listerine antiseptic twice a day is actually as effective as floss. So they said that, June 2004. Maybe you heard that. And on the commercial, they had like these, you know, computer graphics where it showed the Listerine, streams of Listerine going in through the teeth and taking out the little bits of food and plaque, you know. And it seemed to show that these medical, you know, examinations had proven that you didn't have to floss anymore as long as you swished twice a day with Listerine. And so surely everybody started buying Listerine. Like, hey, I don't have to floss anymore? Sweet. I'll just swish with some Listerine. That's as good as doing it, they told them. They were promised this. But just a few months later, about 6 months later, January 2005, just last year, the court finally ruled that this advertising was false and misleading. So they made them pull down all of that advertising. They took it out of medical journals, out off of billboards, off their website. The company spent over $2 million taking down all of this advertising that they had just put out. In fact, they even employed 4,000 workers to go all over the United States into Walmarts and Walgreens and Targets, anywhere that sold Listerine, and they had to either take the ads off of the bottles or put a sticker on the bottle over the promise that they had made, saying that Listerine was better than flossing. So they spent over $2 million covering up this promise that they had made. Listerine's promise went extinct. They made a promise, but 6 months later, it was proven wrong. They had to go cover it all up. God's promises don't go sour. They don't go extinct. They never will. You know, thankfully, you know, imagine if one day an angel tapped you on the shoulder. You're all, hey, why do you have wings? You know? And they're like, oh, hey, could I borrow your Bible real quick? You're all, yeah, sure. You don't know it? You know, here you go. And so they turn, you know, Romans chapter 8, 28. You guys may know what it says. God works all things out together for the good of those who are called according to His purpose, right? So instead, they just put a little sticker on there. And now it says, God works most things out for our good. You know, the angel says, that promise was just a little bit off. I just had to reword it. I just put a sticker on there, all right? You won't even have to worry about it. Can you imagine trying to cover up that promise that had been made? God never makes an empty promise. When He makes a promise, He follows through with it. He's always serious. Look at chapter 9, verse 8. Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, "And as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." Man, what a promise. These guys had just been through probably the hardest year of their lives, through the worst flood that the world had ever come up against. And now God says, hey guys, you don't have to worry. I'm never going to do that ever again. He makes this promise. So after over a year in the ark, after millions of people died, this had to be such a relief for these people. Can you imagine? God giving this promise. But God doesn't just stop there. He gives them a vivid picture in their mind of this of this promise. Look at verse 12. And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you, and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations." That means for ongoing generations, for the rest of them. Verse 13, here's the sign. "I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." And God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." So God puts this vivid sign in their minds. Think about how beautiful Noah's rainbow must have been. Think about how incredible this must have been. For them to be on the ark for so long, and then one day the door opens up, and they walk out. The land is dry. There's nobody around. The landscape has completely changed after the flood. Noah makes this sacrifice on the altar, and all of a sudden, God says, "Hey guys, check this out. I want to make you a promise. I'm never going to do this again." And all of a sudden, this beautiful, huge rainbow appears in the sky. Think about how beautiful that must have been to Noah. The first rainbow ever on the history of the planet. And God leaves it as a sign to Noah. Here's the sad thing, though, about a rainbow. We've become accustomed to seeing them. We've just gotten used to them. In fact, maybe at Lone Tree, if you went to Lone Tree, remember the rainbows that we saw. I took a picture of one behind the mountain. Just last Friday, there was a cool rainbow. I took a picture of it from my house. And, you know, it was really cool. There was actually two full rainbows that I was able to take a picture of. It was really sweet. But the rainbow is often misrepresented. It's not at all today what we think it is. Let me just share a little secret with you guys, all right? Everybody come in close. Listen up. Gay people did not create the rainbow. I know you thought they did. And I know you always stayed clear of rainbows because of that. But God created it. God created the rainbow, okay? And I want you guys to think of it. There you go. It's a sign of his promise. Very nice. A standing ovation for the rainbow. Very nice. So the rainbow is a sign in the sky of God's love for us. It's almost like it's God's logo, you know? You got like the golden arches for McDonald's. You got like the Nike swoosh, you know? And then you have the rainbow. It's God's logo. He puts it up in the sky and you're like, "Oh, that's right. God loves me. Man, he loves me so much that he put the first one of those in the sky almost 5,000 years ago with Noah. And man, he's reminding me of it today." I want you to think of it that way when you see one again. And I thought, you know, well, here's the rainbow talked about in the Bible. I wonder where else it's mentioned in the Bible. Looked into it. It's only mentioned three other times in all of Scripture. Let me give those times to you. Ezekiel chapter 1. Towards the end of chapter 1, verses 27 through 28, God's glory is described as a brilliant rainbow. The glory of God is described as a beautiful rainbow. Talks about how important, that shows how important the rainbow is. Revelation chapter 10 talks about an angel in heaven with a rainbow on his head. An angelic being in heaven dwelling with God with a rainbow. And then in Revelation chapter 4, probably my favorite one talking about the rainbow, it says that in heaven there will be a rainbow around God's throne. Revelation chapter 4, verse 3. Man, God must be trying to remind us of something. For over 4,000 years now on earth, God has given us this visual reminder. And he's put this rainbow up on the sky. We've all seen it. And he's been reminding us that he loves us. And when we get to heaven, the reminders don't stop. Because we'll be standing there, we'll be looking at God in all of his glory, the God that we have worshipped for our whole lives. And we won't be able to help but notice the rainbow that wraps around his throne. An eternal reminder of his love for us. That he loves us that much. You know, and we find, even to this day, people can find fossils all over the planet. Everywhere. Those animals died. They went extinct after the flood. But here's the great thing. You will never find a fossil of one of God's promises. Because God's promises are alive and well and working. They are in our lives today. And God is using them, and God wants to use them in you today. So God's promises never go extinct. And I love that about him. So, this has been a pretty interesting study on the life of Noah. I think you would agree. We've learned a lot of different things. You know, I hope I got the old image of the ark out of your mind. The old image of this little, you know, this little rainstorm that happened. This was a gigantic flood where the waters literally burst out of the crust of the earth. And people were killed because of it. But I hope also, not only do you think differently of the ark and the flood, but I hope you think differently of a rainbow as well. Because God loves you. And every time you see that in the sky, I hope until you die, you will remember, man, that is a sign of God's love. But man, if we can forget what a beautiful rainbow means, how much easier would it be for us to forget what God's word says for us? God's put a sign so clearly in the sky, and yet we often forget what it means. But God, you know, it's interesting as we've studied this, because God has judged the earth. And as we've read the account of Noah and the flood, we realize that this is some pretty intense judgment. But in the midst of this, I hope you guys can see the love story that weaves its way through the story of Noah, the life of Noah. Because God, in his infinite mercy and grace and love, saved the undeserving, rebellious human race. He could have just wiped us out. All of us could be gone today, never have seen life, because God knew that our sins would send his son to the cross to die. But he loved us enough to allow us to live, because he wants to spend eternity with us. And we're going to read in the next few weeks, as we continue studying in Genesis, that sin turns men from God. Sin turns them away. Sin separates us from God even today. And even when sin ruins the lives of people all around you, you guys can stand up for what you know is right. And I pray almost every day for you guys that God would give you the power to do it. You guys can be the Noah in your generation. You can be the Noah at your school, in your home, in your family, among your friends. Standing up for what God has told you is the truth, warning others of the impending judgment, but also showing God's love. We have a tool that Noah didn't have. Had there been a rainbow, Noah could have pointed to that and said, "Look, guys, God loves you. He's proving it." But Noah didn't have that tool. We do. Man, when you're with a friend and there's a rainbow out, remind them that God loves them. What an awesome tool we have. And when life takes you through a storm, look for the rainbow of God's love. Look for the fact that God loves you right in the middle of it. Let me give you this verse out of Isaiah 54, verse 8 through 10. He says, "In a moment of anger, I turned my face away for a little while. But with everlasting love, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. Just as I swore in the time of Noah that I would never again let a flood cover the earth and destroy its life, so now I swear that I will never again pour out my anger on you. For the mountains may depart and the hills disappear, but even then I will remain loyal to you. My covenant of blessing will never be broken, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. I love the fact that Noah and his family got a new beginning. And the good news that I have to share with you guys tonight is that you can have a new beginning as well tonight. You can allow, just like Noah did, you can allow God's flood to come into your life, the flood of His love, and wipe out the sin that is causing so much pain and so many problems in your life. Jesus died so you didn't have to live under the power of that sin. And Jesus, one day, 3 days after He died, proved that death had no power over Him. And He rose again. Jesus is alive today and He loves you and He wants to wash your heart clean of the sin that's in there. I'm going to have Jen come up right now. We're going to close in a song. But I want you guys to think about where you're at with God. And if tonight you need to make sure that you're right with God, I challenge you to do that. Let God's flood come into your life and take away your sin. He loves you that much. Let's pray and then we'll worship. God, we are so undeserving of Your love and Your mercy, but You pour it out on us. Just like this flood, God, I pray that You would flood our lives with Your love and help us to feel Your mercy and Your grace on a day-to-day basis. Lord, forgive us for the times that we have allowed sin to separate us from You. And God, I know that there is a very good possibility that in this room tonight, there are people living their lives for themselves, separated from You. And God, that pains my heart. But man, if it hurts me, I can't imagine how much it hurts You. Because Jesus, I know that You came to the earth and died to pay the price for our sin. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone in this room tonight that needs to maybe just recommit their lives to You. Get on track. They've made the decision to follow You, but have not done it yet. God, speak to them. Show them what they need to do tonight. But Lord, I also pray that if there's someone in this room that You're speaking to and they feel Your presence and they've never made a decision to follow You, they've never even known that they need to, maybe. God, show them tonight that they need You. And without committing our lives to You, we're on our way to hell. We have nothing to look forward to. God, thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for a rainbow that reminds us of Your love for us. We pray these things in Your name. Amen.
Continue to love me with that same love. Righteous and unchanging. Continue to love me with that same love, priceless and unfailing. Your love, it reaches to the sky. Your righteousness